Without the inspiration of the Spirit, we'll get nowhere. But I'm also dependent upon the Spirit of wisdom and revelation knowledge to permeate our midst. Lord, we thank You the Word is going to become alive and change us tonight. Not just head knowledge, but spiritual impartation. I ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Let me say this before we turn. Could a couple of fellows help me bring this chalkboard right over here and move the transparency out of the way? That will help tremendously. Let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For those of you that just received your notebook, on the front cover, there's a place that says subjects. Write the subject, developing the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let's say that together. Developing the gifts of the Holy Spirit. One more time. Developing the gifts of the Holy Spirit. All right. 1 Corinthians 12, and let's begin with verse 4. It says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but is the same God which worketh all in all." Now I want you to look in verse 4. It uses the word gifts, and as we said in the original language, the word there is charisma. Now that's what we're really spending all of our attention on, are the charisma, or the power, miraculous gifts. All right, but verse 5 says there's also a category known as administrations. That would be the offices, the ministries, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, the helps minister, and there's a variety of others. And then verse 6 says, and diversities of operations. In other words, the gift of prophecy in me will operate different than, say, through this brother right here. Why? Because we don't have the same personality. There's a difference of operations. Can you see that? And many times we set ourselves up really for a disappointment by saying, you know, I really don't operate like that person does. You know, somebody stands up and, oh, the Lord would send to you, da, blah, 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 and boy, they don't miss a lick. Man, they're just flowing right there. And they're using King James scriptures. Well, if you've been reading the Living Bible, you're going to prophesy the Living Bible. You know what I'm saying? So don't set yourself up for that type of disappointment. All right, now let's read the listing here just by way of review. Verse 7. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit... Everybody say manifestation.
Manifestation.
It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit all. For to one is given by the Spirit. Now, this is the listing of the charisma gifts. The word of wisdom, we've already covered that. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, we've already covered that. To another, faith. Now, that is the gift of faith by the same Spirit, we've covered that one. To another, gifts, plural, of healing by the same Spirit, we've covered that one. To another, the working of miracles, we've covered that one. To another, prophecy, we're going to come to that tonight. Discerning of spirits, we've talked about that one. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. Now, the three categories of these charisma gifts, number one, if you just joined us tonight, start writing right now in your little notebook. The first category we said was what? Look back in your notes. The revelation gifts. The revelation gifts. And we said there were three. Number one, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. Then the second category, what? The power gifts, the gift of faith, working of miracles, and gifts, plural, of healing. Now, let's begin tonight to talk about the third category, which is the speaking gifts. And I'll say this. What we're going to be covering tonight and tomorrow night is the critical point. It's the critical place of this entire seminar. Because tonight and tomorrow night will be how you're going to actually learn to operate in these to a greater capacity. I don't want this seminar just to be head knowledge. I want it to be really a practical how-to, and that's what I'm believing God and endeavoring to impart. All right, let's look at the first speaking gift. The first speaking gift that we want to cover is tongues. Tongues. Let me give you the definition. Write this down. Tongues is a supernatural utterance in a language never learned. A supernatural utterance in a language never learned and usually not understood by the speaker or by the hearer. Tongues, a supernatural utterance in a language never learned and usually not understood by the speaker or by the hearer. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, just next door to what we were looking at. You know, tongues, I grew up Presbyterian. I didn't grow up in this type of a movement. And the only thing about tongues that I knew of as I was growing up was watch out for them. You know, because they're going to get you. And if they get you, you've been got. You know, I mean, if you ever start speaking in tongues, you're going to end up like, oh, I knew Aunt so-and-so. Yeah, she went crazy. Why'd she go crazy? She got mixed up with them tongue talkers. You know, that was the kind of thing that was perpetrated, at least in my type of background. And so really, it prejudiced me against the things of God in this area. Somebody said, oh, I believe tongues is just hype. It's just gibberish. It's when somebody just gets all, you know, emotional and everything. Let's look what the Bible says. Look at chapter 14, verse 2. It says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto who? But unto who? Now, I know we've got different translations, but let's read that far. Let's read that far out loud. You read your Bible, I'll read mine. It's going to sound like the day of Pentecost. All right, verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. All right, now let me read the rest of it. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. So write in your notes that tongues is speaking unto God. It's not gibberish. It's not hype. It's not emotionalism. Yes, there's been some misuse. Yes, there's been people that attach emotionalism with it. But, you know, I don't stop praying in English because some people get all hyped up because they pray in English. You see what I'm saying? So, right there, very plain in the Word of God, it says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men. Not unto men. Now, I'm going to draw one of my pitiful men that L.A. referred to up here on the chalkboard. And I was going to tell you that was one of the best that I had done, but we're not going to say that since it's been described as a pitiful man. Dennis, you help me here and tell me if this is coming out. Draw one of my little pitiful men, if you would, in your notes, your little pitiful notes right there. I'm going to quit confessing that. All right. Breaking all the rules right here. There he is. L.A. Joyner. Live. Okay. I want you to draw this, mind. Then I want you to draw or write the word spirit. And we'll put an HS for Holy Spirit. And then we're going to draw a little electric man, a little electric that represents the spirit that's in you. And remember we said last night, or yesterday, if Jason Peebles could just step out of his body, if my spirit man could just step out of my body, it would not just be a little white fuzzy thing, you know, floating around going, D-d-d-d-d-d. It would look just like, guess what? Jason Peebles. In other words, the Spirit is in my eyes, the Spirit is in my ears, the Spirit is in my hands, the Spirit man is in all of you. Now, I think it'll help tonight if we diagram on this chalkboard what tongues is, what the interpretation of tongues is, and what prophecy is. To help see how it interacts within you, it's going to clarify a lot of questions. Turn with me, hold your finger right there, and let's go back a few pages to 1 Corinthians 6. And I want you to look at verse 17. Now, you remember this verse because I'm going to allude to it later in our discussion tonight. 1 Corinthians 6, and let's look at verse 17. It says, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one, what? Spirit. I'll read it again. For he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. 1 Corinthians 6, 17. All right, let's go back. In other words, when you become a Christian, at the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit seals with your spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and seals with your spirit. And at that point, you have become one spirit with the Lord. Then the Spirit of God is trying to teach you the things of God by the Spirit. You see, the Spirit of God, boy, he's been there from creation. Man, he saw it all. He saw the world slung into being. He saw the walls of Jericho fall down. Man, he saw Goliath, boom, with his head chopped off. He is excited. And you know, the little spirit's in there like this. And the Holy Spirit comes in, oh, glory to God, let's wake up. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Don't you feel like praying? No. You know, and he that's joined to the Lord is one spirit, but the Holy Spirit is trying to instruct and teach your spirit into the fullness of God. Now, this is going to be so important because tongues is nothing more than a prayer language of the Spirit. Tongues is nothing more than a prayer language of the Spirit. Of the Spirit. Let's find that in 1 Corinthians 14. And let's go to verse 14. Mark these references in your Bible. I encourage you to draw a little circle around the number. Or mark them in some way so you can find them. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14. It says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, I am gibbering and emotional and in hype." Is that what your version says? Oh, I misread that. I'm sorry. Verse 14. "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my what praise?" Didn't say your mind. It says your what? All right, let's read it again. "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." So he's saying there that it's not your mind praying. You draw this in your notes. Another little diagram. A wonderful little diagram. And put the word spirit. I know some of you are having a hard time seeing this, so I'm going to do my best to describe it to you so you can draw it. Draw a box and divide it into three sections. And label the left side spirit, the right side mind, and the center part would be the body. That's really what makes you up, the three parts that make you up. Now, when you pray with your mind, you have to pray generally out of your mouth, which includes your physical body. That is one way to pray. In other words, you are praying with your understanding. For those of us in this culture, that's what? Mostly English. Or if you've learned any other language, Spanish, etc., you are praying with your understanding. But there's a second way to pray. Right there in verse 14, it says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my what praise? My spirit." So there's a second way to pray, and that is with the spirit. So the Holy Spirit is endeavoring to energize your human spirit that was dead unto God, but is now alive unto God through Jesus Christ. He's endeavoring to instruct your spirit in a prayer language that supersedes your mind, because you don't know how to pray as you ought to. Hello? The smartest person in the world. Well, let me just diagram it. Let's say that my brain is about this big. You say, "Well, that's about right." All right, let's make your brain about that big. Let's say somebody's really smart, man. They've got all kinds of degrees. Let's say their brain is that big. You must admit, you must concede that everyone, there lies outside the realm of their understanding some knowledge, facts, and things that are not known unto them. Can't you see that? No one knows everything. So we're in a dilemma. How can you pray accurately beyond your own understanding? How can you pray for sister so-and-so who's in the other state that, you know, she called you on the phone and said, "Would you pray for me?" He said, "Oh, I'll be glad to pray for you." "What is it?" "It's private. I can't tell you." You ever had somebody do that? How do you pray? "Oh, God, just bless her. Oh, God, just help her. Oh, God, you know what to do, Lord. Just get her going. God, you know, just, amen." You know, that's about as good as you can do. Wouldn't it be wonderful if God invented a way that we could pray beyond our limited understandings with the Spirit and be right on target? He has. And no wonder the devil has tried to confuse this subject. No wonder people have stood up and says it's not of God. Because if you ever learn how to pray with the Spirit, you are praying according to the will of God beyond your own understanding. That's the benefit of it all. Now, the only part of your mind that's involved is your will. So I'm going to diagram it like this. I'm going to draw a line from the spirit up to the will, and then right out the mouth unto God. Look back in verse 2. "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto who? God." We call that prayer. When you're speaking to God, what do we call that? That's just prayer. Talking to the Lord. You know, this issue is so important right here. The will. I grew up Presbyterian. Praise God for the Baptists. They helped me get saved because, you know, the Presbyterian church, we didn't even have altar calls. So, I mean, I was way behind the eight ball when I got started, you know. I can remember standing there as a young boy and hearing those songs. "Onward, Christian soldiers, marching unto with the cross of Jesus." Did you ever sing things like that? This is my Father's world. Man, I can remember my little hairs on my little arm just stood up because I was so inspired. If somebody had just said, come down here and accept Jesus, I would have been down there. But we didn't do that. Well, finally I went down, and you know, people thought I was funny for going down and walking the aisle. But honey, I walked the aisle because I wanted whatever God had. Amen? Jesus Christ. And then, you know, somebody was telling me about, did you ever hear the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Oh yeah, my aunt so-and-so, I heard about that. You know, it's kind of like the radio. How many of you ever listened to AM stations? They have radio in this community? How many of you ever listened to AM? Could I see your hand? How many of you ever listened to FM? How many of you ever listened to shortwave? You know, it's kind of like that in the things of the Spirit. Somebody says, man, have you ever listened to AM? Oh, I don't believe in AM. You go crazy if you listen to AM. Oh, you ought to listen to it. They've got marvelous music. You can just sit right by your bed and listen to it, put out no effort, and there's an orchestra there. It's wonderful. Finally, you kind of slip over there one time and hear some AM. You say, man, I'm going to get me one of those AMs. Then you get comfortable with AM, and somebody says, have you ever heard of FM? No, I'm an AM person. I don't believe in FM. That's the way with the things of the Spirit. Finally, you know, you stick your neck out and you get into FM. You say, wow, listen to that. It sounds much better listening to FM stereo. It just sounds much fuller. A wonderful dimension. Then somebody says, you ever heard of shortwave one? I don't believe in shortwave one. You see, that's the way it is with the things of the Spirit. Many people, they say, oh, I don't believe in this, I don't believe in that. And they've never taken the time to really listen to what God would have for them. What God would have for them. But this thing of the will is so important. When I was growing up, finally I heard about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and I began to read on it and study on it, and I began to read the book of Acts. Somebody told me, they said, read the book of Acts. I just challenge you, read the book of Acts. So I began to read the book of Acts, and they said, every place you see the Holy Spirit or a miracle, put it in yellow. I couldn't believe it. I thought, who rewrote the Bible? Look at this. The Holy Spirit's everywhere. Healing is everywhere. Miracles are everywhere. And I wanted it. I wanted it. I wanted it. But I had one little thing called the fear factor. Write that in your notes. The fear factor. In order to move into this realm of tongues, the interpretation of tongues and prophecy, which, by the way, is the doorway into the other gifts. It's the doorway into the other gifts. You have to get over the fear factor. The fear factor goes like this. I just knew that if I ever opened myself up to God and surrendered in this area, He was going to catch me right in the grocery store line. And I was going to be about to pay, and I was going to go, oh, no, there it was. That was my mental image of somebody that moved in this area. Totally untrue. God did not do that with me at salvation. He didn't catch me in the grocery store and twist my arm, and there I went, oh, God, I surrender all, you know, right there. In other words, He wooed me and drawed me, but I had to yield to it. Can you see that? It's the same way with this area. Now, I want to show you in no uncertain terms that it's God's will for every single believer to have tongues, the prayer language of the Holy Spirit. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 12. We looked at this a little bit on Sunday morning, but I want to cover it again. 1 Corinthians 12, and let's look at verse 28 and following. It says, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Verse 29. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? The obvious answer, no. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. Somebody says, oh, see there, Jason? Not everybody's supposed to speak in tongues. Read it in the context. He's not talking there about the personal devotional gift of tongues. He's talking about ministries. You don't just apostolize one day out of the year. If you've been called to be an apostle, that is an office that you're set in. If you've been called to be a teacher, you are a teacher in the body of Christ. It's kind of like the evangelist. No, not everybody will be an evangelist. But everybody can what? Evangelize. It's the same way with tongues. If you read it that way, you've got a real problem over in chapter 14. Go there and let's look at verse 5. He says, I would that some of you... Oh, I'm sorry. I would that you all, what? Spake with tongues. And even more, or but rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with a tongue. Don't stop there. Except he interpret, and we're going to talk about tonight, that the church may receive edifying. He's saying in verse 5 very clearly, I want every one of you to speak in tongues, but I really want you to prophesy. The Revised Standard Version says, I want you all to speak with other tongues. The New International says, I wish or I would that you all speak with other tongues. I want you to have it. Go to verse 26. Look in your Bible. Don't look at me. Look in your Bible. Verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, how many of you? Hello? Every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a what? Tongue. He's saying, when you come together, every believer should be operating in all of these things. Every one of you hath a psalm. And he's not just talking about the little thing in your mouth called a tongue. That's no great revelation. Oh, when you come together, you've got a tongue in your mouth. He's talking about you can have that prayer language in you. Look at verse 31. For you may all prophesy. How many? All. Now you see, if you read 1 Corinthians 12, that some get it and some don't, then verse 31 doesn't make sense at all. He says, for you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. Now, I want to describe to you benefits. So in your notes, I don't have room up here, but in your notes, just begin to list the benefits of tongues. Because when you understand the benefit of tongues, then that's going to cause your desire level to rise and say, yes, I want that in my life. All right, let's go back to verse 2. There's a couple there we've already looked at. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. So put number 1, the first benefit, you're speaking to God. That's the first benefit. You are speaking to God. Look at the rest of verse 2. For no man understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks what? Mysteries. So put number 2, you're speaking mysteries. You see, if you're praying for things outside the realm of your understanding, and the Holy Spirit is praying right on target for those things. Those are mysteries to your mind, but they're not mysteries to the Spirit. He's praying right on target. Look at verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. You know, I heard one guy say once, well, that's so selfish to edify yourself. Who doesn't need edifying? I need edifying every day. And I'll tell you, one of the reasons I believe that I'm effective in the ministry God's called me to do is before every single meeting, I get in the office of the pastor or a room somewhere, and I pray in the Spirit for at least half an hour. I pray in the Spirit. Why? Because it's edifying me. What will that do? That'll edify you. You see, if I came out here and said, well, I don't feel like teaching tonight, and I had a hard day. We didn't do nothing all day. Will y'all pray for me? Then I'll try to teach you. You'd say, oh, pitiful. In other words, I've got to be edified in order to do what? Pastor, you can't give away what you don't have. And so it says in verse 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. It's not either or, it's both. Look at verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I speak unto you either by, look at these, revelation, knowledge, prophesying, doctrine. Verse 6 clearly implicates tongues will lead you to revelation, to knowledge, to prophesying, to doctrine. Tongues will be the doorway into those realms. Into those realms. Go down to verse 14 again. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. So put that in your notes. One of the benefits, your spirit is being exercised in prayer. So back to my little illustration. The Holy Spirit's going, oh, hallelujah. I want to pray. Let's pray in the Spirit. And you say, no, I don't believe in that. And he joins up with your spirit, for he that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. And he says, come on, let's begin to pray. Ole ki fo sanda barite. Come on, do it. Well, okay. Oh, that sounds so awkward. Oh, come on, let's pray unto the Lord. Let's pray. Get your mind out of the way. Let's pray in the Spirit according to the will of God. And what the Holy Spirit is wanting to do is to have your spirit praying and moving in harmony with God's Spirit. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that powerful? It is so powerful to be able to pray this way in the Spirit according to the will of God. Now, hold your finger there. Don't lose it. And go with me to Jude, the book of Jude. That is, just find the page before the book of Revelation, and you'll find it. It's a short epistle. The very page before the book of Revelation, and you'll find Jude. St. Jude, and let's look at verse 20. This is an interesting passage. St. Jude, and let's look at verse 20. The verses above it, he's talking about ungodly people and how they live sensually and so forth. But verse 20 says, "But you," in other words, you don't do that, you do something else. "But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith," look at verse 20, "praying," what? With your mind? No, praying. Let's read it. "Praying in the Holy Spirit." Now hold your finger there. What is praying in the Spirit? Go back to chapter 14. Don't lose either place. Look at verse 14. "For if I pray in a tongue, my" what? "Spirit pray." Now go back to verse 20. "But you, beloved, building up yourselves." Who? You. You need building up. "Build up yourselves on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." He that's joined unto the Lord is what? One spirit. You pray in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is teaching your spirit how to pray. That is praying in the Holy Spirit. And you know what? It'll lead you into the love of God. You know, it's been a lie of the devil saying, "Oh, the gifts of the Spirit, and they don't go along with love. I'd just rather have love." You can't help a sick person by just feeling sorry for them. You have to love them, but then you need a channel of expression for that love, gifts of healing. You can help a devil-possessed person by just feeling sorry for them. You have to love them, but have a channel of expression, discerning of spirits, and take authority over that thing. I ask you a very detailed question here. Think. What's this in my hand? How many do I have? I have one up here. What do I have on my foot? Another one. Now, what if I had to come to the meeting tonight? I said, "Y'all, just forget the fact that I'm hopping around here. I just forgot my other shoe. And I'm just going to teach like this." In other words, I'm having to walk with somewhat of a limp, and I'm walking imbalanced. That's the way most Christians walk. Some Christians say, "Oh, I just believe in the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, just love and joy and peace and patience and so forth." And they've got one shoe on. The Bible calls it walking in the Spirit, and you walk on what? 2 feet. Somebody says, "Oh, I just..." And they walk like this. It's an imbalanced walk just to walk that way. Then there's other people that all they've got is the gifts of the Spirit. And they say, "Oh, you know, I can prophesy, I can do all these things." The Bible says, no. The way to do it is to walk in the gifts of the Spirit and walk in the fruit of the Spirit. And when you do that, what? You're walking in a balanced way in the Spirit. It's not either or. It's the fruit and the gifts. That's walking in the Spirit. Isn't that something? That's what God wants. All right, now, go with me to Romans. Hold your finger in 1 Corinthians. Don't lose that. We're going to be coming back to there tonight very regularly. So when I say turn somewhere else, just keep a pen or something in that place. Let's go to Romans 8. And I'm convinced that this passage is so clear in light of 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14. Romans 8, and let's look at verse 28. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." You know, I heard that as a young Christian for so long, but I didn't understand the context. And it used to bother me. I thought, well, how can tragedy or some ungodly thing that happens, how can God work that together for good? He can bring good out of anything, but God has a higher way. Verse 28 is in context of the two verses above it. Here's how He works that out for your good. Verse 26. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." In other words, you don't know how to utter the correct kind of prayer in many situations. But the Spirit will come through and pray in words and groanings and utterings that are beyond your own understanding. Look at verse 27. "And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that are loved God and that are called according to His purpose." In other words, praying in the Spirit is what's going to assure that things are going to work together beyond your understanding for the good, for God's purpose and mission and plan in your life. Can you see that? Can you see that? You say, well, isn't there some other way to pray in the Spirit? Hold your finger there and go back to chapter 14. Look at verse 14. I'll just have to answer that and say, I honestly don't know. Verse 14 says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my what? Spirit prays. In other words, the Bible is very plain. Praying in tongues is when the Spirit is praying through you. Go back to Romans 8 and look at verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So he's telling us in the Scriptures, the Apostle Paul, he wrote Romans, he wrote 1 Corinthians. He's saying the way that you can pray accurately and on target beyond your own understanding and see things line up in your mission and plan in life is by letting the Spirit teach you how to pray with a new language unto God. Unto God. Unto God. Amen. All right, let's go to the second speaking gift. That was tongues. Now we want to turn our attention to the interpretation of tongues. So in your notes, put that. Number two, the interpretation of tongues. And here's the definition. A supernatural showing forth. A supernatural showing forth of the meaning of an utterance in tongues. The supernatural showing forth of the meaning of an utterance in tongues. The showing forth. Underline those two words. Showing forth. Supernatural showing forth. The meaning of an utterance in tongues. Now, please make this notation in your notebook. It is not a translation. The Bible calls it an interpretation. Big difference. It is not called a translation of tongues. It's called the interpretation of tongues. You know, I used to wonder why in a meeting some brother or sister would stand up and boy, they'd cut loose with a message. Now, not everybody's called to give messages to groups in tongues, but some people are. And some people will actually end up specializing in that area. But, I used to hear somebody stand up, they go, and they were going, maybe 60 seconds in an unknown tongue. And then, brother so-and-so would stand up across the room and say, and the Lord would say unto you that He's well pleased in your worship and He loves you. I say, wait a minute. I say, the tongue came forth for 60 seconds, and this little message came forth for 15 seconds. I said, how can that be? It was confusing until I understood the difference between translation and interpretation. An interpretation is basically a paraphrase or a general rendering of the meaning. It's not a word-for-word, phrase-by-phrase rendition of the translation. Can you see that? And in fact, you can have more than one interpretation of a message. When Dennis and I go to other countries, like this year, we've been to Brazil, the Philippines, Central America. It's interesting to sit around the table and converse with some other people. And, of course, we're going through a translator. And it's interesting to hear how that guy can interpret that message back from them to us in a number of ways. He'll say, well, he's saying this. Or you can put it this way. Or you can put it this way. So you see, an interpretation is different than a translation. That's why in some meetings, you'll find somebody stand up and give a message in tongues. One person here will interpret it. Then another interpretation will come forth. And a third interpretation. I've seen that happen. Where more than one interpretation comes forth. Because again, it's an interpretation, not a translation. Now, I said the definition, a supernatural showing forth. Everybody say showing forth. Most of the time it'll be verbal, but I have seen it non-verbal. You say, how in the world? What are you talking about? I was in a meeting once where this strong, powerful message came forth in other tongues. And all of a sudden it was like somebody went over to the piano player and went, beep, hit her on the head. And she just started playing up and down the keyboards. And I have no musical training whatsoever. But without any musical training on my part, you could tell what that was saying. She was over there in warfare. And it was going, boom, 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 boom. Spiritual warfare. It was going, here comes the angels, I guess, And everybody in there, it was just a pleasing, peaceful interpretation of that tongue. And it was a message of God unto those people. I was in one meeting once where an unknown tongue message came forth to a group of people. And this girl that was highly trained in ballet, she had had all types of training in ballet. She came up and did a dramatic interpretation without one word being said. And the entire congregation of people knew exactly what God was saying. Now you see how we limit God many times? We limit God many times by preconceived ideas. By preconceived ideas. All right, now there's two types of the interpretation of tongues. Write this down. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 27 and 28. Let's look at that. Let's look at verses 27, and let's look at verses 28. Verse 27 says, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or the most by three. and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence, underline these two words, in the church. The church. Now, these two passages, or these two verses, obviously are talking about a congregational meeting when a message comes forth in another tongue. He's giving some order there, and he's saying, we need to have an interpretation because you're not doing any good standing up and speaking, you know, all these messages. If nobody's interpreting, that's out of order. Don't do that. He's saying there's got to be an interpretation. That's for a group usage or an assembly usage. For the first type is in the assembly. But there's also a private aspect, and this is the one that I want to spend time on tonight and then a little bit more tomorrow night, so that you can learn not only to pray with other tongues, but you can learn to interpret back to yourself in your private devotional life, because thereby you are receiving revelation knowledge directly from God. You are praying for things outside the realm of your understanding, but if you'll learn to come right back around and interpret it, you will be receiving messages from God so that you can begin to pray with your understanding more accurately. And God can lead you supernaturally. Let's look at this personal or devotional usage. Chapter 14, and let's go back to verse 13. It says, wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue, mark this, pray that he may interpret. I find that many full gospel people have never done that. They've never really desired to interpret their own language. They've never thought it was possible. It's never occurred to them. But the Bible is very plain. It's almost a command. If you're going to pray in tongues, then pray that you may interpret. Now look at the wording of verses 14 and 15. For if I, he's not talking here about a congregation. He says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding isn't fruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit. I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. He's talking about in my life, I am going to discipline myself to pray that I might interpret so that my mind is not left unfruitful. But as I interpret my own language back unto me, I am receiving revelation knowledge in my understanding, and no longer is it simply praying in the Spirit unto God. Now, there is a degree of benefit just in doing that, and we've covered that already. But God says, let's take it a step further and redraw this in your notes, if you would, this little fellow here. Praying unto God, but wouldn't it be wonderful if you could learn to do something like this? In other words, you hear that coming out of your own mouth. Here's your ear. You hear that coming out of your own mouth. It goes into your ears, and if you could get the interpretation, all of a sudden your mind would be enlightened, or what the Bible calls fruitful, on what you had just spoken by the Spirit of God. Thereby you are receiving a message from the Lord that's accurate and on target. Now I want to show you by example how this has benefited my life. A number of years ago in Tulsa, Oklahoma, I went to Oral Roberts University. Martha and I were living out there. I was driving down the road. This is a true story. I was driving down the road 70 miles an hour. Don't think bad of me because they hadn't changed the speed limit back then. And I had a real nice big LTD. One of those big boats, you know. I mean, I was just cruising down there. And I was singing in the Spirit. Now, I had been baptized in the Spirit. I'd heard Oral Roberts talk about interpreting your own tongue. But somehow, I just never caught it. But that day, I was praying in the Spirit, singing in the Spirit in the car. I had the windows rolled up, as my habit is. Oh, I worship you, Lord. You know, people kind of ride by. You know how they do on the road? And they look in the car and see who you're talking to. They're going around him, George. This guy's funny, man. He's talking. Nobody's in the car. And I was just, let it be so done. All of a sudden, to my surprise, here's what came out of my mouth. Pull over, your left front tire is about to blow out. I said, what was that? And it occurred to me, could this be the interpretation? I said, nah. Big man of faith, right? Nah. Oh, Lord, be sure, and da and da. I said, pull over, your left front tire is about to blow out. It's happened three times before I was obedient. I'll tell you how wonderful faith I had then. I said, man. Because you usually hear some thump, thump, thump. I didn't hear nothing. Didn't feel anything. Nah. Just practicing. Lordy be shorty be saran, you better pull over. I said, well, I'm going to check this thing out. So I pulled over, and you know how you kind of get out and be sure there's no traffic coming and don't want to look too foolish. There's a piece of rubber hanging that big off my tire. I went, oh, it works, it works, it works. I got back in the car and I went 30 miles an hour, got my tire, left it at a station and got it fixed. You say, why are you telling us that? Because I believe that many tragedies, attacks of the devil, could be avoided if we simply took our armor as believers and used it. I truly believe that God is a good God and that God is endeavoring at all times to communicate with His people. And if there is a lack of communication, it's not His fault. It's that we were not tuned in a proper dimension. I truly believe that. I truly believe that. That happened to me. A true, true story. This year, as we traveled to Brazil, South America, prior to that, the Lord spoke to me as I've learned to pray in tongues and interpret back to myself. I'm doing it 10, 12 times a day now. I almost do it every hour that I'm awake. I try to do it every hour that I'm awake. And I'm trying to increase that. You say, why? Because I want to hear God, folks. I want to get as close to Jesus Christ as I can. And I know that my mind is limited. And I want to be right on target with what He's saying. But I prayed in tongues out loud and I interpreted. And the message came back and the Lord said, you are going to meet a person of high position in the government of Brazil. Be watching for this person and do not miss it. Because I shall use this person to open further doors for you. Dennis and I went to Brazil. We stayed there 2 weeks. And I had met nobody. Nobody that was in the government position. I mean, you know, we saw some policemen and so forth. But I didn't meet anybody in the government position. And I really thought it was the last day. We were literally, Dennis isn't this trip, we were literally packing our bags, ready to catch the airplane that day. And I thought, well, you know, I just guess I miss it. You know? Everybody misses it once in a while. And the phone rang. And there was this lady on the other end, and she said, she spoke in Portuguese. That's what they speak in Brazil. She spoke in Portuguese, and she came, I said, you know, hey, I speak English. She came back in broken English. She says, I was healed at your meeting last night. I had a healing service the night before. You know, many people were healed. She said, I was healed in your meeting last night. And she says, I have someone you need to meet. She says, this is the wife of the ambassador for the American consulate in Brazil. You must meet this woman. I said, well, you know, we're about ready to go here. And then all of a sudden it hit me. I remembered. I went, the what now? The American consulate? The wife of the ambassador of the United States? Yes, 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 I'll meet with her. She says, oh, she's very sick. She wants to be healed too. Oh. I mean, your face got to be up. She said, we come to the hotel and you pray and she get healed, right? I went, right. So I hung up. And I was dressed in my jeans because when I travel on the airplane, and you know you're going to be on the airplane, you know, 10 hours or so, I dress in jeans. So I quickly put on a nice looking outfit, you know, and Dennis was still packing. I said, yeah, throw my stuff in the suitcase, and the phone rang. They were down there. We're down here now. She's very sick. So we're fine, right. So we go downstairs. Now we're in, I think it was called the Carlton, just a luxurious hotel. Little bell hot boys running around and everything. And here this lady was. You could tell she was somebody because she was just dressed to the T. She was a very fine-looking woman, and she had just beautiful clothes on. And she had a little boy, a little girl with her, another woman, and they were all sick. And I came down, and of course they met me and so forth. And how do you talk to somebody like this, you know? Oh, yes, God told me by tongues and interpretation I was going to meet you. No? I just sat there and I said, well, I'm so glad that you came over. What'd you come over for? what are we meeting here for? She says, oh, she says, we're very sick. She says, we heard you had a healing meeting last night and people were healed. People were healed. I said, that's right. I said, Jesus heals. She said, you heal people? I said, well, I don't heal the people. I said, Jesus heals the people, but I believe the healing power can flow through me. She says, my little boy, he cannot breathe. He cannot breathe at times, and he gets all this congestion and asthma, and he cannot breathe. And the little boy's over there. He didn't really want me to pray for him. No, he's over there going. She said, you pray for him. I said, sure. Step up here, young boy. And about your size, he stepped up there. And you know how you are. I mean, here's this lady that's the wife of the ambassador and the American consulate, and we're in the nice Carlton. And I was very tempted to just go, oh, thou great God of the universe. We're listening to your very quiet, still, small voice right now. And all of a sudden the Lord came to me and says, you pray for her and for him and for their little girl just like you prayed in that church last night. I said, glory. There's mirrors all along this wall. And I went, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And about that time I saw in the mirror, all the bellboys went. I'm telling you the truth. I heard the name of Jesus. I curse you, foul demon that can't make this boy not breathe. And I just prayed from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. I claimed scriptures. I claimed the blood. I went through everything. And after it was over, he said, oh, Mama, he said, I felt burning all through my body, all through my body. He says, oh, I feel much better. I went, glory to God. I said, who's next? I was getting excited. But I must admit, when I was praying, I thought, Lord, please do something. It's better work. She said, oh, she says, I have a migraine headache. Oh, bad. I said, you have a headache right now? Now, see, either that goes or it doesn't. Hello? It's not that I just felt a warm sensation. Either the headache goes or it doesn't. She says, oh, I got this migraine headache. It goes from here, it goes back here. Kind of those commercials, you know. It goes right here, but it hits right up here. Comes down the back. Oh, I feel terrible right now. I said, well, just stand up right there. And her hair was just, you know, oh, just beautifully done. Hairspray. I just mashed it right down. I said, in the name of the Lord Jesus of Nazareth, I rebuke this headache in the name of... And I just prayed, you know, just prayed hard. I prayed out loud. Man, those bellboys, they were getting all their friends. They were coming. I had a crowd. I'd open my eyes once in a while, and they were in the mirror. You know, they're sitting there going, you know, like that. I prayed. I didn't feel nothing. I want to tell you, every time I prayed for these people, I felt nothing. I didn't feel any heat. I didn't feel any goosebumps. I didn't feel anything except nervous. And I prayed. And after I prayed, she went... I'm telling you the honest truth. It instantly left. She said, oh my. She said, it's gone. It's gone. She says, oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise Jesus. She started talking like I did. She said, oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise Jesus. And then there was this lady whose back, and I had to help her get out. I mean, her back was so hurt. When she sat down, she had to go, ugh. And then when you picked her up, you had to pull her up like that. And she was standing there like this. Now, we're talking critical cases here. I said, where does it hurt? She said, all over my back. I said, all right. I put my hand right down at the base of her back. And I said, in the name, I prayed up and down, up and down, up and down like that. And after it was over, she said, oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Then I took the little girl on. Pray, they all got healed. She gave me her card. She wants me to send all the videotapes that we videotaped over there that has the Portuguese and the English language on it, because we videotape just like we're doing here, except I have a translator beside me and he moves right with me and we interpret it and we go to the chalkboard and he writes it in Portuguese. She wants all the videotapes. She's going to invite all the government officials and the Portuguese government to come watch these things. She knows all, even the high-ranking Catholic priests. She knows the Assembly of God ministers. She's going to invite all of them from Rio de Janeiro. That's where their headquarters will be. Rio de Janeiro, which is quite a large city in Brazil. And they're all going to come over and watch these things. Now, tongues and interpretation will cause you to be on the watch out for things that you normally would not be on the watch out for, because it's beyond your own understanding. Can you begin to see that? Last year, we landed in Nicaragua. Managua, Nicaragua. I'll never take that route again. I saved $110 and had the scare of my life in Managua, Nicaragua. For those of you that aren't aware of Managua, Nicaragua, it's communist and they do not like Americanos. And so we landed there, and it's not really that much of a hassle. You know, when I was sitting there, and all of a sudden I heard over the intercom system, Señor Pebles, yes, home. My name's Jason Peebles. They turned it around. Señor Pebles, yes, home. Please report to Capitan. I thought, my God, I don't know if I want to report to the Capitan or not. I thought, I wonder what they want with me. Again, Señor Pebles, yes, son. Please report to Capitan. Pronto. And by then I was praying in the spirit. Praying in King James, everything else I could pray. I was praying, La Cabarisa. And out of my mouth, the Lord said, don't move, sit right here. I said, well, Lord, all they got to do is, I was talking to the Lord inside. I said, all they got to do is look at my passport. They'll know. I thought about lying. But I decided not to. I said, Lord, I'll sit here, but if they come checking, I'll have to admit it. Señor Pebles, yes, son. Please report to Capitan. All of a sudden, two men with automatic weapons, guns on their belts, dressed in fatigues. They came down and they were looking at everybody's passport. And I said, Lord, I said, and my heart was going, I said, Lord, I said, boy, what do they want with me? Maybe I just better go up there. He said, sit here. I sat there. The guy came up to me, as close as I am to you. He leaned over, put his machine gun around here, and he said, and I was saying, oh God, put him in confusion like you did in the Old Testament. He said, is your last name, broken English, is your last name, Yeson? I said, no, sir. My last name is not Yeson. And I offered no additional information. And all he was going to do was ask for my passport. And at that time, the captain of the airplane, he was upset because these men had kept his plane on the ground for about 20 minutes and he was behind schedule. He comes running down the aisle and confronts the man right over me. They're arguing back and forth in Spanish. And finally, the guy, you can tell he gets frustrated, he turns around and he leaves. You say, well, what did they want with you? I don't know. At the least, a hassle. At the worst, I have no idea. How do they know about my name? I don't know. But I just know through tongues and interpretation, God said, sit there. It's very interesting, when we left and we flew out and we were on our way to Louisiana from where our next stop was going to be there in the United States, as we flew out, we weren't even yet out of Nicaragua, a fighter plane came wingtip to wingtip, as close as, I'm not exaggerating, I'm a pilot, as close as from me to the wall, I could see the guy's helmet, I could see his face in his mask, and he was doing barrel rolls over the plane, he was coming under the plane, it made everybody on the plane nervous, just because somebody was flying like that. All you have to do is hit one turbulence and you have a mess, you see, up there. But I'll tell you, I just praise God that I've learned this type of weaponry. Now, let me give you some tips on how you can begin to interpret your own tongue. First, obviously, you have to have yielded to the prayer language of the Holy Spirit. But once that comes, I'm going to draw it kind of like the little comic strip things, you know, like the guy's thinking right here. As I pray in tongues, and I do this every day, and I'm just going to demonstrate, and I'm going to interpret my tongue right now. Not for show, but just to demonstrate and help you learn. In my car, or in my home, or in my office, wherever I may be, many times a day, I'll just walk around. Besete, longebarin deboko fusemba, benge patete shote, lendere sakabafarinde, bondo kepe sata, dete kabenge borishan nababari sote. Says that he that prays in a tongue, let him pray that he may interpret. Now I would say to you, my son, that I am opening doors and vistas that your mind knows not of. And I am arranging contacts, yes, in faraway nations that shall receive your literature in ways that you know not of. And be not surprised when you receive in your mailbox letters of invitation to other nations. And be not afraid, be not confounded at their face, but go forth, saith the Lord, for I have called you to walk to and fro to the earth and possess the land where your foot trods upon. That was for me. Now you see, you can't do that several times a day and not get built up, edified, and motivated. Built up, edified, and motivated. Now how do you do this? It's not a translation. Get out of your mind that you're going to be standing there and all of a sudden your eyes are going to go with a glaze and all of a sudden this computer screen is going to come in front of it. It's going to say, thus saith the Lord, comma. You know, I would send to you, comma. I want you to do this, comma. And furthermore, page two. You know, it's going to come, write this down, as an idea, a subject, a verse, a thought, an image. In other words, these are just different ways to describe how that interpretation is going to come to you. And what you must do is step out in faith and verbalize that thought that comes to you. Now, most of the time, write this down, most of the time, it's going to be what I call general words. Most of the time, it's going to be what I call general words. It's not going to be something like, you know, sell everything you have, move to Africa, and live by the, you know, whatever river. Most of the time, it's going to be very simple edification, exhortation, and comfort. Look in the scripture of chapter 14 and look in verse 5. I would that you all spake with tongues, but even more, that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with the tongue. Look at this. Except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. In other words, tongues, plus the interpretation of tongues, equals the same effect as prophecy. So in my life, as I learn to pray in tongues and interpret back to myself, look what the effect will be from verse 3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. So most of the time, it's going to just be motivational encouragement that's going to come unto you. Every day I need to hear, Jason, I love you. Every day I need to hear, Jason, I'm with you. Every day I need to hear God's voice out of my own mouth. I look back now and I say, what did I do before I had this? It's kind of like I said, what did I do before tongues? And I said, what did I do before salvation? As I increase in the Lord, it's always, what did I do without this? What did I do without this? Oral Roberts, who built Oral Roberts University, great healing evangelist, he says out of his own mouth that every building upon the campus of Oral Roberts University came as an interpretation of his own tongue. The success of his ministry, he says, comes that he yielded to the Lord Jesus Christ in this area of tongues and interpretation. Go back to verse 13, chapter 14, verse 13. You'll see it so clearly, this pattern. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Now, look at verse 14, the order. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. So what are we going to do about that? Verse 15. What is it then? I will what first? Pray with the spirit. And then I'll turn right around. Number 2, I'll pray with the understanding. Why? Because you're getting your mind enlightened. I will sing with the spirit. I'm going to turn right around. I'll sing with the understanding also. Many times in my car, I'll just begin to sing and worship in the spirit. Oh Lord, I lift my voice in praises and adoration. For you are the God of all creation. Just interpret that tongue and worship Him with a new song. So it says right there, the way to do this, number 1, verse 15, you first pray in the Spirit, and, everybody say and? And you turn right around and pray with the understanding also. You sing first with the Spirit, and you'll come right back around and sing with the understanding also. Now, as you develop in this, you'll come to the point of receiving not only general, but specific words. Write that down. Not only general, but you'll begin to receive specific words. You see, if I had not been practicing the interpretation of my own tongue, it's very doubtful that sitting in that airplane that God could have told me, sit here, don't move. Because I would have not been trained and cultivated in that particular area of the Spirit. If I had not been practicing this gift, it would not have happened. So the place to start is not in this auditorium. The place to start is in your car by yourself, in your home by yourself, in your office by yourself. And you just step out in faith, pray out loud in tongues, pause, idea, subject, verse, thought, image, and then learn to verbalize it. Now I suggest that you use this phrase, I feel the Lord would say. Didn't that say? I feel the Lord would say. You know, some people stand up and they say, oh, let's say the Lord God of creation of heaven and earth. Just let your preliminary be, I feel the Lord would say. We're going to get more into that tomorrow about how to begin getting over the fear of missing it, because you will make some mistakes in these areas. Oh, I might make a mistake. Yes, you're going to make some mistakes. You've already made a bunch of mistakes in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Hello? What if you went, oh, I might make a mistake with patience. Maybe I better not exercise it. You just made the mistake. And you know, this thing of you know, God's going to take you outside and the elders will stone you. Just get over that fear. You start in your personal life. As you become accustomed to that, maybe you're in a home group or a smaller situation, you begin to step out there. And as the Lord develops you in this area, then you'll be able to give messages to larger groups. But you're faithful in that which is small, God will always promote you. That's a spiritual principle. All right, let's go to the third one, prophecy. The third, speaking gifts. Are you learning some things tonight? The third one is prophecy. Let me give you the definition. Prophecy. A supernatural utterance in a known language. Prophecy. A supernatural utterance in a known language that speaks for God and is both timely and spontaneous. A supernatural utterance in a known language that speaks for God and is both timely and spontaneous. Now, prophecy is not just preaching. There are some people that teach it that way, but it's so clear as we've looked the other nights of our seminar sessions. You know, when Agabus told about the drought, that was not just preaching. Let's look in the Bible and look at this gift of prophecy, what the Bible declares about it. Look in chapter 14, verse 1. Follow after love. Everybody say, follow after love.
Follow after love.
And desire. Everybody say, and desire.
And desire.
Spiritual gifts. So there's the walking. There's the two shoes that I just pointed out to you a moment ago. Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather, or a better translation is, but even more that you can prophesy. God says, yes, I want you to pray in tongues. I want you to interpret. I really want you to learn how to prophesy. Because once you learn how to prophesy or interpret your own tongue, it's the same effect. You are then in a position not only to benefit yourself, but to benefit others. To benefit and bless others. Alright, look at verse 3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men. So here are three benefits of prophecy. You're speaking to men, write this down, to edify them, to exhort them, and to comfort them. Now, again, if you take 1 Corinthians 12, verses 28 through 31, and you read that and say, not everybody can have each of the gifts. Look at verse 31 of chapter 14. It says, for you may all, everybody say all, you may all prophesy one by one that all may learn and all may be comforted. So this is something that's for everybody. Now I want to give you three levels of prophecy. There's three levels. You're going to start on the first level. The first level, write these verses down. We've already looked at it. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. The first level is simply speaking edification, exhortation, and comfort. That's when you would say, I feel the Lord would say, I'm with you, I love you, I'm pleased with your worship, I'm behind you in this situation, know that I'm going to help you, etc. Just encouragement, exhortation, and comfort. That's the first level of prophecy. Level number two is chapter 14, verses 24 and 25. Let's look at that. Verse 24. It says, but if all prophesy and there come in one that believeth not or one unlearned, notice there's two categories, non-believers and people who are unlearned in the gifts of the Spirit. They're believers, but they don't know anything about the gifts. Verse 24. He is convinced of all. He is judged of all. Now look at verse 25. Level number 2. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. So in other words, the second level is when you can prophesy and reveal the secrets of the hearts of men. When you prophesy and your prophecy reveals the secrets of the hearts of other people. I'll give you an example. In Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, a year or so ago, I was teaching the Word much like I'm doing now. And the Lord caused me just to see this particular lady's face in the auditorium. And I said, would you come up here right now? And she came up there. And the Lord began to give me a word of prophecy for her. And I began to prophesy over her. And she was a sweet-looking lady. I mean just an older lady, senior citizen. One of those kind that just looks like she's been a saint all of her life. But the prophecy came out telling her the Lord was with her, the Lord loved her, not to take your life. Do not take your life. Do not commit suicide. And as that came out of my mouth, I thought, oh God, I hope this is right. Because this little old lady, kind of like the lady that says, where's the beef, you know? And I just thought, man, I hope this is right. And as I said, do not take your life. The Lord says that there is life worth living. The best days are yet, something like that. And as I began to home in on that suicide thing, her friends that were with her that had brought her to the meeting, they just started out loud weeping and praising God. And I found out after the meeting that it had totally set that lady free. Why? Because her husband of all of her life, up until a few months prior to that time, had died, had gone on to be with the Lord. There was a void in her life. She was a lonely person. She felt like she had no reason to live. That was a secret in her heart. She had not told a soul she was thinking about suicide. But by that prophecy, you better believe she went out of that building knowing that Jesus Christ loves her. Now, what if we don't have those tools? People go unattended to. So the second level, when the secrets of the hearts of men are made manifest. The third level, 1 Corinthians 14, let's look at verse 29. It says, let the prophets speak two or three, and let the others judge. So the third level is the actual office of a prophet. Now, not everybody's called to that. So there's edification, exhortation, and comfort, revealing the secrets of men's heart by the Spirit, and the actual office of the prophet. And he goes on to say in verse 30, if anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. Isn't that interesting? You see, the gifts of the Spirit don't just come on you uncontrollably. It says if you've started to prophesy and give a message, and somebody across the way in the congregation starts, then you do the right thing, and you stop and let them go ahead. You say, that doesn't sound fair. I started first. That's called being polite. And he's just saying there, if you start prophesying and somebody cuts loose over there, then you go ahead and stop, hold your peace, and when they get through, you can go ahead and give it. Somebody says, oh, Pastor, I just had to stand up and prophesy and speak in tongues right in the middle of your message. I just couldn't hold it any longer. That's not true. You could have sat there and held your peace and given it at the proper time. So it's subject to your will. Everybody say, my will. You see, it's subject to your will. Now, what I want to encourage you to do, and this is where I'm going to pick it up tomorrow night. I want to encourage those of you that already have your prayer language tomorrow to begin stepping out in the car, at home, wherever you are, walking down the street. You don't have to be real loud about it. I just walk to the grocery store sometimes. If a song about Tarite, Shota Babari Sende, I would say to you, my son, that I'm with you and I'm blah, 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 blah. And I see somebody know. I just switch over. Hey, how you doing? They never know. Never know. Begin to step out in faith. Learn to interpret your own tongue back into yourself. And we're going to cover this tomorrow night in depth. I'm going to teach you how to do that. And then we're going to teach you how to prophesy tomorrow night, because everybody needs the starter kit. Amen. The starter kit. Everybody say the starter kit. Starter. Remember those old cars? They go... That's the way you need to be. Get your gears going. Praise God. Amen. Let's stand up. Amen.